Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
So what's first on the list?
Okay, first up, the Catholic Church. There's a big event happening. 133 cardinals are gathering.
In the Sistine Chapel, right?
Yeah.
To elect the next pope after Pope Francis.
That's the one. It's this very old, very secretive process.
And people watch for the smoke signals. Black smoke means no decision yet.
Right. And white smoke means they've elected a new pope. The first vote is apparently set for Wednesday afternoon.
And there's a bit of underlying tension, isn't there, about the direction Pope Francis took.
Mm-hmm. Some of his decisions, like blessing same-sex unions or allowing communion for some remarried Catholics, well, they weren't popular with everyone, particularly conservatives.
Yeah. And his critiques of capitalism, too. So the question is, will the cardinals choose someone to continue that path or someone focused more on maybe unity?
There was a quote from Cardinal Reyna questioning what happens to the processes that began under Francis. It really highlights that uncertainty.
Definitely. This could be a good jumping off point for discussions with students,
yeah,
you know, about leadership.
Like, what makes a good leader? Or how do big groups find common ground when people disagree?
And what it means for traditions to change over time.
Okay, let's switch gears completely. From the Vatican to golf courses.
Right. Tackling plastic pollution with dissolving golf balls.
It sounds a bit strange, but yeah. Apparently, regular golf balls stick around for centuries, shedding microplastic.
And harming wildlife, too, if they mistake them for food. The numbers are pretty staggering. Something like 1.5 million golf balls lost every year.
Yeah. Enough to circle the Earth 1.5 times if you laid them end to end. Crazy.
So these companies, biodegradable golf balls in Vancouver and Albus Golf in Barcelona, they've come up with balls that just decompose.
One uses cornstarch, I think.
Yeah. And the other one, Albus Golf, their ball actually has fish food inside.
Fish food? Huh.
Yeah. So when it dissolves, it releases something beneficial, at least for the fish.
Now, there are limitations, right? They're not for, like, the PGA Tour.
No, definitely not. They cost more, around $35 a dozen. And they don't fly or handle quite the same as standard balls.
But for casual golfers, especially if you tend to hit balls into the water.
It seems like a much better option, environmentally speaking.
Could lead to chats with kids about, well, unexpected pollution sources.
And the challenges of making eco-friendly products work, you know, the cost, the performance.
And how even small changes can add up.
Exactly.
All right, next story takes us to Germany. Politics this time.
Ah, yes, the Alternative for Germany party. The AfD, Germany's intelligence service, has officially labeled them an extremist group.
Which means they can be monitored more closely by the government. And this has caused some waves, even getting criticism from some in the U.S. government.
I saw Secretary of State Marco Rubio tweeted about it, calling it tyranny in disguise.
But the German government has its reasons, rooted in history.
Yeah, they point to their experience with Nazism, arguing they need to stop right-wing extremism early.
And the AfD has alarmed opponents with statements seen as downplaying the Holocaust or using Nazi-era language, plus their strong anti-immigration stance.
It's worth noting they came in second in recent national elections with 21% of the vote. The other major parties actually formed a coalition specifically to keep AfD out of power.
So this extremist label allows for things like phone tapping, undercover agents.
Serious stuff. And the AfD says they're going to challenge it in court.
It raises some big questions for discussion, doesn't it? Like how you balance free speech with worries about extremism.
Or the dangers of forgetting history. And how different countries can view these political issues so differently based on their own experiences.
Okay, shifting again to horse racing. Kentucky Derby.
The 151st running, and the winner was a bit of an underdog, Sovereignty, at 9-1 odds.
Yeah, won by a length over the favorite, Journalism, on a pretty muddy track, apparently.
Jockey Junior Alvarado praised the horse's strong finish.
But here's the really interesting bit, Sovereignty. Like, every single one of the 19 horses in that race
is a descendant of Secretariat.
The legendary Triple Crown winner from the 70s still holds the Derby record.
It sounds amazing, but the trainer, Whit Beckman, pointed out that given Secretariat sired over 660 foals, who then also became breeders, it's actually statistically pretty likely.
Ah, okay. Still a cool connection, though.
Definitely speaks to legacy, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a good discussion topic. What does legacy even mean?
And how can one individual, or in this case, one horse, have such a lasting impact?
Also, just factors for success in competition, genetics,
yeah,
training conditions. Right. Next up, our quote of the day. This one came from Walter Cronkite.
Ah, the most trusted man in America.
That's him. The quote is, "Freedom of the press is not just important to democracy, it is democracy."
Powerful stuff. And Cronkite really lived that. Anchored the CBS Evening News from 62 to 81.
Covered everything, didn't he? World War II, the Nuremberg trials, JFK's assassination, the moon landing.
Vietnam, Watergate.
Yeah.
Just immense historical moments.
And known for being straightforward, objective, his sign-off, and that's the way it is.
It really symbolized the trust people had in him. His integrity was hugely respected.
So that quote really hits home, coming from him. It prompts questions about why press freedom is so vital.
What responsibilities journalists have. And how news delivery has changed so drastically, you know, with the internet and social media.
What are the implications of those changes? Lots to unpack there.
Definitely.
Okay, one last story. This one's about sheer scale. Lady Gaga.
In Rio, on Copacabana Beach. A massive, massive concert.
Estimated 2.1 million people, her little monsters, as she calls her fans.
That's just enormous. It apparently beat Madonna's previous record there.
And it's the fifth largest concert ever, apparently the largest standalone concert, meaning not part of a festival.
Imagine the logistics. They had 16 sound towers, huge screens.
And thousands of police, military personnel, firefighters for safety.
There's a quote from a fan saying, "It was the best day of my life. The whole thing felt surreal."
She played the big hits, Poker Face, Alejandro, Abracadabra.
And told the crowd, "Thank you for making history with me."
It really makes you think about that live music experience, what makes it so special for fans.
And the incredible challenge of pulling off an event that huge.
How do artists build that kind of intense connection with millions of people?
It's quite something.
So there you have it. A quick look at some diverse topics that have been featured recently in The Juice. Well, thanks for joining us for another deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.
See you then.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.